You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, it is another Prem show of all Premier League all day.
That's right.
We're talking American soccer players. Christian Pulisic. It's a Christian Pulisic heavy episode.
That's right. Plus, we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about, are Arsenal actually going to get into a Europa spot? Do we like the five subs? Are we keeping it? A little bit of a heated debate. Plus, we talk about where some players might be moving and does anyone have any money? And also, we talk a little bit about an embarrassing life story and our hair. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go! Yeah, wake everybody up, Alexis.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, I mean, it's Brooklyn. There's fireworks going off every 40 seconds here, so who cares? We goody.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Hello, we are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever seen, ever listened to. You don't listen. You don't see. Now you see podcasts.
Podcast.
It's all scratch
and sniff. We're just the funniest one of all of them. That's all that matters. And we're not just that, Christian. Can you maybe get? Do you think I know something else that we might be?
I'm gonna take a stab at it. And I'm gonna say yes. I think you do know.
I think you're right because we happen to be the gulliest. Ah.
Correct. It is getting gully not only in the United States, it is across the pond, you know. What's gullier than completely ignoring coronavirus statistics and the dangers of this disease?
That's actually not that gully. I want you to know. That's anti-gully. You know what freaked me out? So we're recording this on Tuesday. Arsenal played earlier today. Mm-hmm. The announcer kept saying, passed it down the gully, got it in the gully. And I was like, yo. Yeah.
Yo, they talking to me? What is this?
This is our thing. And then I remembered that Daryl Grove of the Total Soccer Show had explained to us that in England, a gully is kind of like a walkway. It's kind of like an alleyway, but like where the build, it's like, imagine an old timey street that's not wide enough for cars. Like in Chicago, shouts to DJ Step. In Chicago, they have like the alleyways behind the building. It's almost like that. Those would be gullies. And in fact, if you've ever been to Chicago, gully stuff happens to happen in those alleyways sometimes.
Correct. Okay. And also, just a reminder, just for people listening to this show, we're recording this on Twitch. So, you make sure you follow us. I don't think we really mentioned it on the podcast, but make sure you follow us on Twitch and you can subscribe and do all those things. It's a fun experience. So we're going to be interacting with the people in the Twitch chat. So if you want to be a part of this in the future, this is where you have to to hang out with us. Okay,
so it's gonna just sound like a lot of stuff is happening.
Because
aren't voices in our heads, okay? These are actual people typing stuff.
The people listening do not hear the alerts that are happening on the Twitch stream. So like when somebody subscribes, shout out to Jim, I believe that's Jim Manolius, Gully Squad, great dude who we hung out with in North Carolina with his daughter. Awesome dude. He just subscribed, and when you subscribe to the channel, you hear a little bit of salsa. All right, so you're missing out on a lot of fun.
I mean, it's about time that you just, especially if you're white, like you can't imagine you don't subscribe. That's you saying you hate salsa. So think about that. Think about the message you're putting across in this day and age.
Correct. So thank you again for tuning in. So today, we're going to do what we did last week. Like, since obviously our TV show is on hiatus, so we're taking some time to do some different things. And we're going to have another exclusive Premier League episode to yell about all things Inglaterra.
That's right. And that's, yo, we're teaching you so many things. One, it's called soccer again because y'all invented it. And guess what? You Inglaterra now, bruh. imagine Argentina won the war. You'd be Inglaterra. That's who you are now, bruh. Para la raza. DJ Step understands.
Exactly. And Shexa just said guilt subscriptions. Yeah.
100%.
That is the strategy here, okay?
Yeah. I mean, we were raised by Latina moms. What you think? We don't know guilt, though? Is your mom kind of a guilt driver, you know?
Well, she can't drive. No, but my mom...
Yeah. Well, you need your guilt license.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are the rules. We can make them.
I mean, Latino countries are crazy.
My mom is... it's not that bad. She uses her guilt skills, but she's not a black belt in guilt.
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
My mom is Bruce Lee level, yo. Like, I called my mom the other day. She pretended she had just been crying.
What?
And I said, oh, I swear to God. And I said, what? What happened, Ma? What happened? And she said, it's just been so long since you called.
So she pretended to cry to make you feel worse. So I know where you get it from, Alexis.
Oh my God. First of all, what did when you met my mother for the first time? By the way, we are going to talk about soccer for everyone. For all the new fans who were like, oh, Premier League. Trust us, we're getting to it. What happened when you met my mother? What did she pull you aside and do?
Yeah, she apologized for never having gone to see you do stand up.
She apologized to you for her never having come to see me do stand up. And then she gave you a reason why. Would you share with the world why that is?
Because she is just embarrassed at all the things you say. That's what she told me.
Now, you knowing me, do you think she has a point? Because I do.
Yes, people can only handle so much. And obviously she raised you, gave birth to you, which is already just a tall order. And now she had to raise you?
Look at the size of my head. A big thing to give birth.
If your mom would have known how you were going to turn out, bro, you wouldn't last it 3 weeks in that home.
Dog. She would have been like, we need to up the belt and the chancleta budget because I need to fix this.
All right. So, yes, let's get to some Premier League stuff. You know what? And we're already getting a couple questions in the chat. Robert from LA said, how bad did Christian want to bash his head into a wall after the Everton versus Tottenham
How bad did we both
match?
Want to do that, by the way?
Yeah, but at least you got a point, right? And it was a frustrating game, but this game. Oh wait, are you referring to just because of it? Because it was Tottenham.
Yeah, a loss for Tottenham is a win for Arsenal. So in that moment, I was an Everton fan, and I got to experience what you experienced, which is sheer frustration for most of 90 minutes.
Yeah, the obviously there was just the own goal from Michael Keane and
on a deflection. I mean, if that doesn't go in, we're probably talking about a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, but you know, Everton have they don't know how to score. They know that goals are not really their thing.
It's
okay?
Not their goal to score goals.
Okay,
Everton's like, look, we're out here. It's more of a training session for us.
We're just trying to have we had a long layoff. We're just trying to stretch our legs a bit.
Yeah, we're just really just trying to give it a run. You know what? You know what I noticed? The first thing I noticed about that game is Calvert-Lewin kind of looks like a brolic young Theo Walcott. Have you ever noticed that?
I guess. I mean, maybe with Theo's haircut, they have like similar hairstyles.
It's similar haircut. They're both kind of light skinned dudes.
I'm doing the DCL headband. Look at this.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, I think I saw that. I'm like, dude, I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is what Theo Walcott's wife thinks about during sex with Theo Walcott.
Okay.
Because it's Theo, but a little bit taller.
Okay.
Bigger shoulders.
You're not going to get this on Sky Sports, okay?
Let me tell you something. If you're watching other Premier League shows and they didn't start with embarrassing information about a Latino mom, telling you that imagine Argentina beat your country in a war, rename your country, and then tell you who Theo Walcott's wife is thinking about when she's sleeping with her husband, why are you even watching? watching and listening to that show.
It's like you're wasting your time, really.
I mean,
we got another question from Shaq. So, what my EPL question is: do you think Sancho to Man United will happen?
Sancho's just waiting. He got his bags packed. He's like,
yeah. Gio Reyna wants that to happen quickly. He's like, yo, bro, I'm trying to get some more game time.
Let's go. You know, I think the longer this goes, the more stress this is on Christian Pulisic. He's like, please just don't come to Chelsea. Please don't come to Chelsea. Imagine they spend like $73 million on Sancho.
They can't. I mean, they got Timo Werner. They got Ziyech. I don't know how to say his name, but from Ajax. I don't think they have
Kid's
any more
a beast.
Money.
Oh, no, of course not.
So, we have a couple things to go through today. Let me pull up some stuff. All right, let's you know what? We should just start with Christian Pulisic. Let's go.
We already talked about him. Remember when people said that he wouldn't play enough at Chelsea? I was one of them. I did say that you don't spend 72 mil on someone you're not going to play, right?
Yeah.
But then again, it is Chelsea. You know, Chelsea... Abramovich is the type of dude to buy a yacht and then be like, I don't like the way it smells. It smells like the ocean. And then his assistant's like, this is the fifth time Abramovich. They all smell like the ocean because you put them on the ocean. He's like, I'm going to get a different one. And they're like, why don't we just clean this one? He's like, nah, I want a different one. He's a little bit loose in the head. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm sure Chelsea fans appreciate them deep pockets that have oil all over them. It's all good.
Oil covered pockets. Do you have anything in your pocket? I don't want that peanut, dude. It's oil all over. I think here's the thing. He may be already the best American, the most skilled American to have ever played in the Premier League, because the Dempsey heads are going to come out and they're going to get mad at me, right? Yeah. Because how could you
watch out for those Dempsey heads? You don't
Dempsey
want to mess with them.
Crazy, you know what I mean? Like, why are you disrespecting Dempsey? Right? Clearly, up until this point, what's the dude? Demerit, right?
Jay Demerit, yeah, Watford.
Jay Demerit got Watford promoted, but he wasn't the great. He wasn't like he didn't make people go like, oh, maybe Americans are good at soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like a large physical beast, you know what I mean? A lot of power. That's what you expect out of an American. You know, it's a lot of milk in our diet, you know, a lot of protein. You know, Dempsey came out and he's like a gutsy player. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like he would find a way to score, but there's nothing about Dempsey that made you look at him and go, yo, the way they're developing players in the US is next level. Christian Pulisic does that.
Yeah, well, he's he has something special when you see the responses from Chelsea fans on Twitter whenever Christian Pulisic does an interview. They're like, oh, I keep forgetting that he has an American accent. I can't take him seriously. So
they're good at accents.
They take his footballing skill seriously that the accent is so jarring. They're like, why does he sound like that?
I think back to that video when he was at Dortmund, Vice Sports did it. And it was like the B-roll was hostless. And they were just like interviewing people in Dortmund. And it was like the center of town where like people are out drinking, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what do you think of Christian Pulisic? He's like, oh, he's great. I use him in FIFA. And they're like, what do you think about the fact that he's American? The guy goes, he's American. He's like, he goes like from there, like not just like dad splooged in a woman of a country that knows how to develop. Right. No, it's like legitimately born, raised and developed in America. That to me is like a little bit of like pride.
Sure. I mean, look, there have been people in the past, obviously, like you also forgot Brian McBride, who also was a Fulham legend as well.
Yeah, he's got a concession stand named after him, which, a goal of mine is to have a place that sells food named after me.
I mean, Alexis just wants a hot dog stand named after him. That's all.
Dog, are you kidding me? Why are all these hot dogs mini? This is disrespectful.
Okay. It didn't have to be true to size. Why did it?
I should have never let you measure it. I should have never let you measure it.
You know what? I thought it was weird, and I should have said something.
I don't know why I was for it.
Colo Blanco saying a pizza stand. That's right.
Now
that's
we're
right.
talking.
But stadium pizza is not really known to be very good.
So. You know what? Shouts to Atlanta. They got an Antico in there. They're probably the best pizza I've ever had in a stadium.
Okay. Well, so look, Christian Pulisic, obviously against Crystal Palace, was stellar. And this is what we're seeing week after week, right? We were concerned that he wouldn't get any playing time. And now I am concerned that Frank Lampard is going to work this child to the bone. He is going to, he needs rest now. I'm like, yo, get it. But make sure there's pillows laid out on the bench. Does he need to play every game? Does he need to play every minute? I feel like we need to
Liverpool already won. What are we doing?
Slow it down, guys. All right. We have to really think about the future. No, man, but he is clearly earning his minutes, especially obviously since this restart. Unbelievable. The game against Crystal Palace, yeah, the goal was incredible, but it seems like every time. Here's,
can I just say, like, what makes that so special is that was one-on-one.
Oh,
how
sure.
often do we see an American score a goal one-on-one, right? I mean, it's one thing to be like smart and know the play and know where to stand and be able to finish, but to have no other option and just be like, all right, I'm going to break this dude down, give myself a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
Or it's a Premier League show, a millimeter. I don't know a centimeter, right? To give yourself that little bit of space, just enough, and then to bang it in near post.
Left footed, too.
What are we talking about? Who is this? He's American?
Yeah. it's incredible. We're not used to seeing it. And the goals and the assists are great. And that's always like you want those results. But his ability on the ball in tight spaces. I mean, he did it a couple times where he was just like saucing on dudes. Like, I mean, it's just
disrespectful.
There was no position that you could corner him in that he wouldn't be able to get out of. I mean, the last 3 weeks have been unbelievable. I mean, he seems like a completely different player. I mean, what it is?
It's the confidence. He seems like he has the confidence he had at Dortmund before Sancho got there.
Sure, but when he got to Chelsea, he was dealing with, I think, a quad injury or hamstring or whatever. Like, I think he's, like, kind of sorted that stuff out. I don't know if he has,
but also, the pressure of being fucking $72 million, the last signing before the ban. Like, that's tough, dude. That's a lot of pressure.
Sure. I mean, I don't know I don't know what happened exactly, but, I mean, you know, we got to applaud him. He's not just looking great for an American. He is looking good for a Premier League star. I mean, when it comes to, you know, the leading goal scorers, like obviously Vardy, Aubameyang, and Sadio Mane, when it comes to the decisions that he is making, he's looking like those dudes. I mean, I'm thinking next year, if he continues this run, he has 9 goals this season, he could be like almost a 20-goal scorer if he keeps this up. He is that good.
Even for at least a portion of the year, I could see him being in the golden boot sort of conversation for Premier League.
It's surreal. I mean, it's weird to, you know,
an American
to put that kind of pressure on this young man. But I don't know what, even from the difference that he, you know, compared from Dortmund to Chelsea, is he is light years ahead of in quality. I just visually from what I see, compared, you know, he's made that jump not only to the from the level that is required in the Premier League, but he just looks like a different player.
I know what it was when he was at Dortmund. He was at Theo Walcott, and now he's Calvert-Lewin. Right?
Yeah,
he's bigger. His shoulders are bigger.
Exactly.
Right. He's getting. This is what now, Theo Walcott's
now,
wife.
Now Theo Walcott's wife is imagining Christian Pulisic.
I mean, she's all over the map here, but you got to do something, right? You've been with Theo for a long time. I honestly get it.
I like this. Jim just said he learned German. Maybe he can learn a British accent. Imagine he does that. Just really goes full British just to adapt to the culture.
I would love it if he was like, all right, mate, American, who? You know, that's the best I could do with an English accent. But I think even in the chat, what Colo Blanco said, I believe it was Colo Blanco who said he might be the best American ever. And that's it, regardless of whether played in the Premier League or not. And I struggled to agree only because he sort of hasn't, I don't think he's earned that yet. You got to play in a World Cup right? And unfortunately, he missed the last one because his teammates are trash, or the system was trash in that moment. I don't want to disrespect the whole teammates. I love that squad. But when he shows it in a World Cup, it's the same thing for Messi, right? Versus Maradona, right? Like, you got to show it in the biggest competition. So you got to, oh, Shexa said it. You got to show in that moment, right? Can you, he has all the potential. We're seeing it. And the kid's what, 22?
21?
21.
He's still 21.
Dude, this guy's just starting to buy beer in America.
He's a baby. No, I mean, in England, you could buy it at like 14, so it's all good.
I mean, buy it. Wait, 14, you're okay, you young chap.
Hey, start, run my brewery.
Yeah. What are you like? Go ahead, grab the clipboard.
I'm
impressed.
Yeah, he's been great. It's just you love to see it. And then again, we didn't know. I don't think anyone really expected this. I don't know what. When we saw the $72 million that Chelsea was spending, we're like, all right, okay. We're trying to.
It's like a street hustler who's like, no. If that's what this person thinks it's worth, everyone shut up.
Nobody. Okay, this is what the market says. So let's just go for that. No, but yeah, he's been incredible. Yeah, I think that's been the thing that's made me the most happy is,
you know, his agent was like, okay, I'm gonna have to check with Dortmund to see if that's okay.
Because I believe we're receiving a heavy interest from what does it say here? Barcelona. Yeah. So I think we're gonna have to up this.
Also, the sound you hear in the back is static. That is not all of us high fiving. I want you to know that. That's what it sounds like, right?
It's been great. Like I was saying, the thing that's made me the most happy is not even the goals have been great, the assists have been great, but really he is fitting in so perfectly, and there's some moments that he looks like the best player on the pitch. He is so fast. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's a different workout routine, but he is often the fastest guy on the pitch. And I made a joke before. I'm like, I love this kid's pace and power. You love to see it, right? Defender, and this is why the defender, when he scored the goal, was really playing off of him, because he was like, yo, I don't know where this kid is going
to
go.
Right, because he's first of all, to score with his left foot that way, every other defender is like, I mean, what am I supposed to do? If I get tight, he goes right. If I give him space, he can go left. Like, there's just no way to really defend against this guy right now.
And there were people who were having tough times. Like, he positions his body in front of the ball to create that little bit of space to continue to accelerate. And even against Crystal Palace, Wilfried Zaha, who is one of the fastest dudes in the Premier League, Van Aanholt as well, another super fast dude, like, were having trouble keeping up with Pulisic. And again,
he got that other gear, dude.
Yeah, and look, obviously it's not just the speed, but he's playing to his specific strengths. So that one of the things I said when he got to Chelsea was like, can he handle the physicality of the Premier League? I thought he was going to get pushed around a lot more, and people can't get a hand on him to push him around. Yeah. So that's been the thing I'm kind of like most proud of as a fan of American soccer.
So are we happy? I mean, this is going to sound pretty wild, but are we happy with him being at Chelsea? Like, do we want him to move to a bigger club?
Look, the frustrating thing for me is that I watch Chelsea games now and I want Chelsea to succeed, and that shouldn't happen. Right.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody. All right. I look at him, and first of all, I thought him and Tammy Abraham were going to be like the thing of the future, but I'm really liking him and Giroud, right?
Yeah,
Giroud's like pulling him aside and being like, yo, let me show you the way. Fix his hair up a little bit. Spray tan. Speedos.
Speedos. All right, kid. You're looking all right. You just come smack.
Right. You got to be beautiful.
Yeah. Ms. Kupo says he's smart and fast. His movement is just beautiful. Yeah. Everything about him is beautiful. Okay.
Everything. By the way, right. In the background, neither one of us work in restaurants. You may be here in Christian's apartment, right? In the background, right? Where it's a little late, right? We're interrupting dinner time in Christian's house. So if you're wondering, that's not your kids playing in the background. That's not your neighbor breaking into your house. That is us. Do you remember when we first used to record our show? We would do it out of my apartment on the Upper West Side.
Yes.
And you would sometimes hear the police sirens, but like New Yorkers, we don't, unless the police car stops directly in front of me, I don't notice it. You know what I mean? I hear police sirens, right? I'm goody, right?
Yeah. That's just part of the time. It's part of the ambiance.
Right. It's more of a background noise, right?
Oh, you have a wave machine? Real nice. I have police sirens.
White noise? Nah, I got white supremacy noise. It's the police. Oh, we're going to get an email. Whatchamacallit? We used to get emails all the time from people saying like, yo, could y'all figure out what to do? Because like I listen to you while driving to work and I keep thinking the cops are behind me. But right now someone's going to think they left plates back in the back of their car or something.
So yeah, look, obviously Pluto 6 is a hero and we hope he keeps it up. And you know, I want him to do well, but I want Chelsea to fail. That's all, no big deal.
So he could keep scoring as long as the opposing team scores more.
Yes. Okay. Strong point. Thank you for making that brave. It's like the Eric Andre meme. How could you say something so controversial yet so brave? Shaxa had mentioned this on the chat as well. We had this on our rundown. Miguel Almirón rumors to Atletico Madrid. Miguel scored in their last game. Newcastle
back to back, if I'm not mistaken. This might be the first time he scored back to back.
I don't recall. But he scored in I forgot who they played, but it was a great goal. And he's looking to appear a bit more comfortable with Newcastle. He is. I watched the last two games, and I still think this rumor of him going to Atleti is not. I think it's just very much a rumor. I think he needs at least a bit more time to adjust to really show his ability, because he is one. I think he's just on a bad team. And it doesn't mean that if he was on a good team that he would absolutely shine, but I think he is not in the environment to. Atleti's a big team. I don't think he's ready to fit in with Atletico Madrid. That's my opinion.
I'm going to disagree with you, and here's why. First of all, I agree with Shexa. I think his style fits better in La Liga. I think the Premier League. And I know this sounds blasphemous because we're talking about Atleti, but I think the Premier League is just a bit too physical and doesn't really care for the dancing in the midfield. You know what I mean? So it forces him to have to constantly run heavily into space. Whereas if he played in La Liga, which is a much more technical league, it balances him out. Atleti, don't forget, they might be in trouble. They ain't got a lot of money, right? They don't have a lot of money to spend. Getting a player like Almirón is probably the highest value they're going to be able to get for the amount of money they can spend. And this also could just be complete bullshit. This could be his agent being like, oh, big money coming in. Oh, well, you don't know, but like Atleti was asking, so you probably want to keep him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he could do. I don't think that he wouldn't do well at Atleti. I just feel like
he's more of a Real Betis player.
I think it would be a big gamble for Atleti. That's my feeling. I think he could strive in the Premier League with Newcastle a little bit more with more time. I think he could adjust and have a better kind of showing and earn either more money or some more faith from Atleti or any La Liga team. He could go into plenty of La Liga teams. But yeah, Betis, Villarreal, Valencia. He would be fine in a lot of those teams. But Atleti is like, they're a Champions League team. They are usually third or fourth in the La Liga table. So that's a lot.
Recently.
Is he going from Newcastle to a Champions League team? You think he's ready for that? I don't think he's there just yet.
But I'm going to give you the team that I think he's perfect for, and they will be in Champions League next year. I think he is absolutely perfect for a Bielsa team. Leeds United.
I agree.
Dude, he is absolutely perfect. He's fast. He can ping shots. He doesn't stop running. He's a workhorse who happens to be fast and really skilled with the ball at his feet. And he's so small. I love the fact that he wears my size T-shirt, but has your body build. He's one of those players that when he doesn't have the ball, you can't keep track of him. So he can run wherever he wants. He's great at like late runs to the post, stuff like that, which I think that was the last goal he scored.
The goal, the last goal he scored was like that like sort of chip to the corner. It was like at the middle of the box. He is he doesn't receive the ball. Well, and you know, he's not a forward. So just Newcastle sucks. All right, guys, let's not be crazy.
I'm glad we got to it. It was on a rundown to talk about it.
He has to do so much. They got him there because he's fast as hell. And yes, he can get a couple goals, but let's be realistic. He's there because he is stupid fast. He can track back.
And he was cheap.
He can beat defenders. Yeah, and he wasn't super. I mean, look, for Newcastle, he was cheap by Premier League levels, but
was the final result? Was that 30 mil?
It was like 30, yeah. So that's a lot for Newcastle. But when you watch their games, their midfield just looks so discombobulated. They're really not. They're just not having fun out there.
Yeah, there's a guy on their team called Jonjo Shelvey.
Yeah, yes. Dude. Okay. Is his name? What does that mean about the quality of play?
That sounds like a Premier League player, well, like a top flight player from like 1942. Jonjo Shelvey. I mean, that sounds like, you know, when they're like, oh, how'd you get your name? And they're like, oh, well, you know, this happened. And oh, my dad put a key in the door, so it became door key. Like Jonjo Shelvey sounds like one of those names. Like he's just one of those things where it's like his picture should be the old timey fighting guy with one fist in front of the other.
Yes, the Notre Dame fighting Irish guy. Yeah. Got it.
It's just first of all, I can't remember the manager's name now. It escapes me. But I don't, Steve Bruce, if I'm not mistaken. I don't love that style. I don't love his style of management. Clearly, it's working for a team like Newcastle. But this whole new, like, if the Saudi takeover works, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be bringing in huge name players. I don't know that Miguel Almirón starts on a team with huge name players. I think going to Atleti is actually a step up. And it sort of levels him out.
Okay. I mean, look, it's all speculation, but...
I love when you're done arguing, you just say okay so that I stop yelling. Honestly, if you've learned anything in five years...
I've expressed my opinions on Miggy, yeah. and what else am I going to say? I'm not going to convince you for my point of view, but whatever. Shaxa did say, is it legal to have three names that white when referring to Jonjo Shelvey? But I think Jonjo is one name.
Is one name, but that's two names shoved into one. That's two dudes dating, celebrity dudes dating, that they've made like a celeb
couple. Yeah.
Oh, Jonjo. You know Jonjo? But they break up?
Jonjo Kenny. Jonjo Kenny was, which Jonjo, is that, was he an Everton player? Who's Jonjo Kenny? I remember that name.
Anyway, I have no idea.
So, what's up with my man Yedlin? Jim is asking.
Yedlin is going back to Seattle next year, bro.
He is not getting playing time. I forgot who's taking his spot, but it is, again, it's disheartening, to especially he plays right back, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A right back, an American who's, again, obviously one of the, again, another stupid fast guy. But
also skilled, though. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's not the greatest of defenders. He's also a little bit small. But, when it comes to right and left backs, that's kind of okay. You don't need to be the biggest dude in the world.
Especially because he's kind of more of a winger than he is a defender.
But he's not
cross great either.
He doesn't cross great, and he doesn't really set the team up for those crosses. That's not really like his biggest strength, and it's unfortunate because I can't tell if it's a bad Newcastle team or if Yedlin is not playing well or if it's like just they can't figure out like the chemistry. This season has been not great. I mean, for Newcastle, I mean, they were early on. They were like kind of in the relegation zone and who knew what was going to happen. But Yedlin, to see like an American player on a bad team not even be able to get minutes is disheartening, right?
Yeah, but yo, he's been getting minutes for years there. So, you know, it's not like he just got there and he's failing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He'll be fine.
Kolobanko said, yes, Jonjo Kenny did play for Everton, and now he's at Schalke. He has apparently has an amazing quarantine throw. So look, I'm doing, I got the same
so
thing
do
going
you.
Here. Yeah, look at that. Thank you for the compliment, Alexis.
No problem. I love your hair, dog. I can't wait to see. I mean, when it starts to fall, you know, because it stays up, you know. But I keep my hair just keeps getting longer. I can actually tuck it behind my ear now, which is crazy. I can't believe my hair is this long.
Okay, so let's. I mean, obviously, this is a hair show. We focus on what looks do you recommend for the Cooligans?
And if somebody turned this on now, you just got like these like crazy nightclub lights behind you, and we're just talking about our hair, and people are like, I don't think this is. It's more of a perm show than the prep show.
Yeah. Or look, to our Twitch audience, we should address like we've been trying to make the production value of this a little bit better. Yeah. Do I have party lights on? Sure. I mean, look, yeah. It'll at the very least somebody will click on, you know, into it and be like, all right, these dudes know how to party. Okay.
I mean, they don't know shit about soccer, but yo, they lit. And that's honestly all we could ask.
Yeah.
You believe that about us.
We're also both using new cameras. If you can tell, the reason that the cameras look a little bit nicer is we figured out a way to plug in our cameras that we have instead of just using webcams. So we're trying, everybody. So thank you again. So hit the follow button, bro.
We out here using big cameras, son.
Okay. All right. So next up, let's discuss Alexis's favorite subject, Arsenal Football Club.
That's right. We didn't even talk about Weston McKennie. Speaking of Americans moving.
Oh, right. Yes.
Weston
that was
McKennie.
Another rumor.
Might come to a Premier League team that you happen to love.
Let's go, baby.
Might be going to Everton. You always pick the wrong side of your shirt.
I'm looking at the reflection on the camera.
You still know what side of the badge is, dog.
I don't know where my organs are, bro. Where's my heart?
Dog. My heart, it's in a garbage can, yo. Weston McKennie wants to come to the Premier League, and he's decided, I'm used to being on a team that loses a lot, so why change that? I want to go to Everton because I don't want to know what it feels like to win. Although Carlo Ancelotti, do you think he's going to make changes in the offseason? And if so, do you think Weston McKennie fits what those changes potentially might be?
He could
hang up and listen to your answer. Long time.
Weston McKennie. So that was one of the rumors. The rumor was he might go to Everton, Southampton, Newcastle, and I think there was another club. I don't remember.
Palace.
I don't know. I mean, he could go to. He's a good player. I think he could fit in a lot of teams. Obviously, he is a strong defensive mid. He's pretty fast. He's also like a threat to score. He is at Schalke. You see him. He's pretty good on the ball. I mean, they're a decent team, but they haven't. You know, they've definitely underwhelmed us or whatever, or underachieved this season. Shexa would not agree with that sentiment about Schalke, but you know how it is. So I think he would be a perfect replacement for Andre Gomez. Andre Gomez is even before his injury, I think he's too slow, and since the restart, I just don't think I don't think he's that great of a passer, and he just doesn't make great decisions. The game against Tottenham, that was very, very evident. But I just think as a defender, I think Weston McKennie would be better at that spot. And I think Weston is maybe not necessarily as great of on offense, but I think he's good enough. And fitting in on a Premier League team, I think that would be a good spot for him. And the fact that he could, you know, just be in the box for you know, corners and headers, and he's just a more physical player than Andre Gomez is, I would love that. And also, Gylfi Sigurdsson has got to go. He is done. It is not working. Whatever they're trying to do, it is not working. I think Ancelotti's going to go in a different direction when it comes to that, to the midfield, because I think the defenders for Everton can hold their own. Keane is great. Mina is a little slow, but he's Colombiano. He's good. He's definitely a good ass. He's a good passer. But the midfield is just there's a disconnect between the midfield and their forwards. the defenders get the ball to their forwards better than the midfielders get the ball to the forwards, which is embarrassing.
Yeah, and Colo Blanco just said, are you ready to lose Yerry Mina to Valencia?
I hope he doesn't go, man. I like him at Everton. Obviously, he's not getting the playing time that he wants.
And he is a good defender. I mean, I agree with you. He's not the fastest, but he's a beast. And he seems like one of those. He's one of those that like instills confidence because he's always, his work rate is very high as well.
Yeah, it's just like, look, a lot of Premier League players are freaking fast, right? And he sometimes gets beat. But when Everton are playing kind of, you know, more with more possession, I think he can hold his own and he's fine. Yeah. So he's a big dude. We saw him at the World Cup dunking on England. Right. I just want him to do more of that. Why not?
Yeah. Keep doing that, bro. So, I mean, here's my thing. I don't want Weston McKennie to go to Everton. I don't want, it's not necessarily a step up. I would love to see Weston McKennie go to a team that's better. Right. Now, here's the thing. You can't go to like Besiktas. I don't think that's a better level than what Schalke plays week in and week out. And I don't know if he's necessarily Bayern Munich level, but I would love to see Weston McKennie go to a club where you're still playing in a good league, but plays at a high level. And that's why I asked, do you think Ancelotti is going to make the appropriate changes for Everton to be a better club? Because if it's another of what we've seen after the restart or in 2020 after Ancelotti took over, I'm still not convinced that that's really good enough for a young, impressionable American to develop in a situation that way.
I feel like I don't have any real evidence to think an American wouldn't be able to do well there.
Not necessarily do well, but is that the right place for them to develop? Is Ancelotti, does Everton have money for Ancelotti to spend so that next season he's surrounded by better players? Or is he like the only one you're going to bring in?
No, yeah.
I don't think that makes Everton better.
Honestly, I think Ancelotti's going to bring in a huge name. I mean, there's also been the rumor about James Rodriguez. I think there's more of a likelihood that Everton will have a huge, huge name than, you know, build pieces to build on something. I think Ancelotti at the very least is going to push to get some big name player. And James was one of the names that came up. And obviously, I don't know what James is going to do at Liverpool. I don't know how much fun he's going to have out there, but I think a lot of people have faith in Carlo Ancelotti, and you know, why not? Why not give it a shot? He went there. Maybe they're getting a new stadium. There's a lot to look forward to as far as what the team could look like and what, how much control he will have over what the team is going to look like. So I think there's not too many teams that have that high of a ceiling. Like, you know, the Manchester United, the Chelsea's, Arsenal's, we already know those are the big clubs or whatever. But there's the room for growth.
Thank you,
Everton.
For saying that.
I think Everton in the next like 10 years will. I'm hoping they will be spoken in the same breath as those other teams.
Yeah, that'd be fun, dude. Yeah, if you would imagine if James Rodriguez comes, Yerry Mina stays. No,
of course.
That's his homie,
bro. You know?
Two people to complain about the food together.
Okay. They'll be dancing when somebody subscribes to the Cooligans Twitch channel, right? So, yes, Ed McLean says Andre Gomez needs to go. He's terrible. I mean, yeah, I feel bad, and I wanted him to mush Son during that game, but
Lloris got it. Yeah, Lloris took care of it for you.
That's right. Oh yeah, we should talk about that. Well, that was interesting, right? That little fight between Youngmin Son and Hugo Lloris.
I just noticed his first name sounds like young man, and his last name is Son, which is also a young man. Wow.
Man, all right.
Welcome to the Cooligans, y'all.
Man, it's just like now people can watch your brain work live.
Bruh, you think I won't interrupt the Wealth Flowing podcast for that tidbit? You don't know shit, my guy.
Yeah, so it was it was towards the end of the first half, and the I don't exactly know what happened.
Like, NBC Sports showed what they believe is additional footage. It looks like Sun didn't track back after getting the ball dispossessed.
Yes, that's right. They lost the ball, and he didn't go to, like, I think it was Mina that got the ball, and Mina just kind of ran right past him, and he didn't put any pressure on him, and then which created a chance for Richarlison from, like, a really kind of, you know, easy pass. Right. So, Hugo Lloris was not happy.
Called it out, and then it looks like Sun flips him off.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It does. Right. It looks like he did. I mean, what's he saying? Like, you know, I'll pat you on the balls? Like, you know, he's telling him to go fuck himself. He said it.
What's
and then,
is that a thing? I'll pat you on the balls? Hey, you better watch out for pitching the balls.
Hey, you think I won't come up there and lightly tap you on the balls in a caressing manner? You think I won't do that? Don't you dare disrespect me in front of my friends. I apologize for the way this show has gone so far. I think when they show that, it seemed like there was like...
He was dismissive. He did something, some gesture.
He was like, don't tell me to track back. I know what the fuck I'm doing. And yeah. And Lloris was like, whoa, don't you talk to me that way. Is Lloris the captain or is that Harry Kane?
He is the captain. Yeah.
I hate making your goalkeeper the captain. You're not near. You should be a guy in the midfield. He's near more of the players. You can't even talk. Look at the disrespect that happened. It was probably loss of communication, you know? The gentleman's tap of the balls. Thank you, Paulo. Paulo knows. Paulo, whatever it is. So whatchamacallit? I kind of side with Lloris on this. Because if you're the captain and you're telling someone like, yo, step your game up, and they're dismissive, you got to get touched, right? Like, you guys, I got to go over there and be like, you don't get to do that.
You got
to
get tapped on the balls lightly.
Hey, come on, baby. Touch your toes. This is going to happen.
Otherwise, how is the message going to sink in, bro?
Listen, you think I want to do this? You think I came to work today saying, hey, I'm going to tap someone's balls? No, but you put me in a position where I got to do that. Okay. So now you got to get in the position.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
I'm disappointed in your actions has caused me to have to do this.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So it was.
And with COVID, I got to wash my hands how many times?
It was, at the very least, entertaining. Yeah, I think Hugo Lloris is right on this point because, yeah, Richarlison's chance was pretty close. He just missed the goal by, like, I mean, inches, centimeters.
Everyone says Son, and I do too, that Son's like the nicest guy in the world. Kid's got a bit of an anger streak to him. Like, if you look back in his history, somebody did a post on Reddit that's like really incredible, but like, it goes back. He's been like basically like either kicked off every team or he's kicked players and been like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe he got like, the red against Chelsea when he kicked up at Rudiger, I believe.
He like karate kicked somebody in a club that he was at. I think I forget what it was. Maybe PSV.
What?
Yeah. Like the dude.
Oh, wait, no. I thought you said he karate kicked someone in the club, like in a nightclub.
He's behind you, dude. Look at the lights you got. Oh, no. Imagine, though. I mean, I want you on my team if you straight up, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme somebody at the club, dude. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, he aced military duty, though. Yeah, he did. That's right. Maybe it's his PTSD from military duty, man.
Maybe it's the training. Maybe, like, a switch happens. Maybe there's, like, a specific word they teach South Korean army that turns you into a monster.
Yeah, it's the Manchurian Candidate type deal.
Maybe Lloris just said that word. What other show are you getting this on? We're breaking it down. Dude, so oh, yeah, man. I fucks with Lloris, and I hate Lloris. I love Son, and I want Tottenham to lose, but I want Son to have a good time, and I want him to feel loved. Okay, he's just a good dude, but maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe he's a monster. You know what I mean? You know what it was? It was when he broke your boy's foot and he cried. That's what made everyone feel like, yo, maybe he's in touch. But maybe that was the tears of victory. You know what I mean?
Or maybe that was he learned that from Mama Guerrero's. Maybe that's where he learned that tactic.
He was like, quick, cry. They'll never see it coming.
Okay. Next
let's
up.
Talk about Arsenal.
Let's talk a little bit. Some Arsenal. They lost. They drew today.
They drew today. After going, first of all, I mean, they went down to 10 minutes. The only reason Oh, because I froze a little bit there. Do you got me now?
Yeah.
Sorry
about
that.
I got you. Yeah.
They went down to 10 men. So that's the issue, right? Looking fine.
How'd you feel about that red from Nketia?
Dude, you know what I loved? I loved at the end of the match, they asked Arteta about it. He's like, if those are the rules, then Leicester should have been the 10 men after the foul that happened between the 41st and the 45th minute. Talking about Vardy. They were like, well, which one specifically? He's like, the one that happened between the 41st and the 45th minute. Like, he's like, I'm even giving you a range. I ain't trying to pay no fines right now. I'm trying to get furloughed, my dude. They looked incredible. If they didn't go down to 10 men, they would have won that match. Dude, it looks like the club plays better with three at the back than they do anything else. And when they went to that, they essentially went to a 5-3-1 when the red card came out. So all of a sudden, there's more people on that back line, but it seemed like because they were all in a straight line, it was easier for these little dinky passes to go through. And that's the only reason that a goal got scored against us. I truly believe it. And honestly, none of this matters if Lacazette bangs in that goal. He did that beautiful, beautiful first touch, beautiful turn. And this is in the first half when we had complete control of the match. If that happens and that goal goes in, who cares? They're not going to score two in the extra when they're up by 10.
Yeah, Schmeichel was pretty good. He had to have a good game because Arsenal was pretty dominant. The red card obviously changed everything, and I was kind of most surprised by how good Arsenal looked against Leicester, right? Yeah, Leicester's pretty, you know, high up on the table, and they've been
in third. Well, now they're in fourth, but they were in third for like almost the entire season.
Yeah, and they've looked good, but they couldn't get the ball, and Arsenal looked sharp. The sharpest I think I've seen them this since the restart. So.
I mean, look, they went not undefeated, but they didn't lose a match all of 2020 until the start of the restart.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that gives me so much sort of peace, right, as an Arsenal fan, I understand we're not going to spend a lot of money. We will spend money, right? We will get players, but it's not going to be the big name players. We're not going after the Jadon Sanchos, right? We're going to Partey seems to be like the big chip we want, and then we're going to try to fill in some gaps in between. Maybe if we get Ozil off the books, we can make some things work. Maybe we can keep Aubameyang and that little bit of sort of that variance there in the money between Aubameyang getting a bigger contract and what he was being paid before. Maybe that we could get something else. But yo, Saka. Saka's he's a kid and he looks incredible.
Yeah, he just signed a new contract, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to be at Arsenal for a long time.
And
hopefully.
People forget Martinelli. Martinelli is injured, but that kid was also a beast before he got injured, which happened during COVID. Like, I honestly think it's a true Arsenal thing to say, like, if all healthy, that's a hell of a club, especially playing the way we're playing. Arteta has taken complete control, which shockingly, I expected Ancelotti to do the same thing at Everton. I expected Everton to at least be a lockdown team. Like, we may not win, but it's not going to be easy to beat us. And it seems like they are kind of easy to beat sometimes.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, look, Everton, look, they were 0-0 against Liverpool. Own goal against Tottenham. Defensively, they're in a good place. But when it comes to just the quality of players, Everton does not have most Premier League teams. You know, Arsenal fans get upset or whatever because obviously the bar has been raised so high by like the Liverpools and the Manchester Cities of the world.
Yeah.
But Arsenal are still a solid squad that are fun to watch. They have, you know, just like that's kind of one of those things that impresses me the most about teams like Arsenal, where they have a playing style that, you know, Arsene Wenger brought in, and it was like, and now everybody's like, okay, for the rest of our history, we're going to play like this.
Okay.
Never going to change it.
We'll just play this song for the rest of our lives. It's our wedding song. You better like it.
Okay.
I do think our tits have changed
a little
bit, though.
This is my favorite.
Did you see the video of the funeral at the strip club?
I have not seen this.
Was in the South. A kid died. It was like a younger dude, like in his early 20s.
Okay.
And he wanted the funeral to be at the strip club. So his mom went and she was recording it. And she put, "My son's funeral is lit AF." And it's just a girl shaking her bare ass on the casket. It was incredible, dude. Yeah, dude. They did to that casket what Atlanta United did to MLS Cup. They took to Magic City.
Yo, you're going to have to send me that video ASAP, okay?
Yeah, but privately, you know what I mean?
Put it in the chat.
Yo, Christian, why are you throwing dollars at your phone, though? Not to throw shade on Everton, but the reason why I said that is because Ancelotti is one of those big-name managers that's linked to every great team. It was a huge coup when Everton gets him. Arteta, no one had, I believed it. In fact, if you recall, when we had troops on our television show, I kept telling them, even in the commercial breaks, trust me, this is the guy. I believe this is the guy. Trust me. He's going to be our manager for the next 20 years. I'm telling you, he's that great. But he wasn't like the everyone's got to have him. Like Ancelotti, everybody wants him, right? Yeah. There's no club in the world that wouldn't want an Ancelotti. Arteta, not the same. And he seems to have leveled everything out. He has created. He took the same players Emery could barely get out of a draw with, and he has made them seem unstoppable, and the kids look good. I'm so happy and excited for the future that I know it's all going to fall apart because I'm an Arsenal fan. Like, that's how I'm so confident that I know bad stuff is happening, right? It's just coming.
I mean, but it's always woe is me with Arsenal supporters. It's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart, and we're in sixth place in Europa. This club is a failure.
First of all, we're in seventh, right? And do you know why? Because it's always falling apart. After we went invincible, it's like we have to pay our dues now.
All right. Well, I mean, look, a lot of people are trying to figure it out, but it's getting more difficult. But, you know, I think Liverpool is an example of a, you know, they brought in a manager with just different ideas, but they didn't really change they were always just not good enough, right? Like Liverpool always had the problem. They just like couldn't win the league.
Get over the hump.
Something always happened. And even last year, look, if Vincent Kompany doesn't score that goal against Leicester, I believe it was, that rocket that he scored, mm-hmm. if he doesn't score that goal, Liverpool probably wins the Premier League last year. That's kind of the thing where, like, you can still have the same club identity, but if you bring in someone that can work with that identity, but bring in some fresh ideas and bring in a little bit of that belief, Liverpool is the example of, like, things can change. And Arsenal just need, you know, it's not a quality issue. It's never been a quality issue with Arsenal. It is a confidence and just straight-up belief.
And a headspace.
Sure. Okay, a couple other things.
So I do believe they're going to get a European spot, by the way.
I don't know.
I think I can see Wolves losing at least two of their next matches. I'm just looking up their matches right now. Sheffield United and Everton. Come on, Everton. Don't fuck this up for us, goddammit. But they also have to play Burnley, which is not an easy match ever, right? Crystal Palace, which we've seen, they've got some skill. And Chelsea, it's not an automatic that they keep their place. Arsenal has a little bit more of a difficult sort of run-up. I mean, they're just playing the best teams. They're playing Tottenham next, Liverpool, Manchester City, Aston Villa, and Watford. So the way they played today lets me believe that even Liverpool's already won. Manchester City's in the FA Cup, so forget them. So it's going to be Tottenham, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Watford. We can win all of those. Liverpool's already won. They're not the same team, and they're certainly not going to start all their best players.
I don't know about that.
And if they do, it's not for the whole match, which brings me to my next subject.
Even Liverpool's bench will do very well against Arsenal.
Yes, but we've seen this Arsenal that's played the last few matches, I think can hang with even the A squad of Liverpool.
And Ketia's not going to be there for three games. So
they're going to appeal it because they gave him a yellow before. It was bullshit.
All right, we'll see.
They're going to appeal it. But here we go. Starting your starters. We've been able to watch post-COVID what the game is like with both water breaks and five subs.
Yes.
Do you like both of those things?
I feel like they haven't changed the game so drastically that I'm that I'm fine with both.
Let's talk about the drink break.
Yeah,
are you fine with a drink break?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's it doesn't really change much. I mean, it's like 60 seconds long, and it also does give the managers an opportunity to like kind of go over another bit of a game plan.
That's so, the real advantage. That's like, kind of upset some people.
As a viewer, I feel like it's not distracting enough to bother me from like enjoying the game. The one interesting thing, and we should mention the NWSL, the they use that cooling break, water break, Colo Blanco was saying, they use that to actually show a commercial during the game. So they'll show essentially like about a 30 to 45 second ad during the water break, which is like, it's just jarring because you're like, is the game still on? Did something happen?
Is it halftime?
Yeah. It is weird. But I, to be honest, I haven't even really noticed it.
Here's my thing. I don't think a water break, a cooling break is necessary in most Premier League years. Like, what are you going to do? Drink hot chocolate? You know what I mean? Like, it's freezing. You know what I mean? You don't need a break. What is it? A warm up your butt break? Then fine. Sit on a heated seat. I don't think you're going to need it. But some people think it's sort of an advantage if you have a great manager, right? If you have someone like people have said this, I'm not saying this, but Mourinho, right? It gives Mourinho an opportunity to adjust the game a little bit. Everyone says like, oh, as a manager, you can only really make changes at halftime. Other than that, you're just yelling stuff out as they play. Well, now because of this drink break, you've got that chance, right? And I'm assuming they're going to be playing the Qatari World Cup this way.
Without a doubt. Well, yeah, it's still, even in the winter, still going to be at about 100 degrees.
It's 100 some degrees. Yeah, no. There's going to be a drink break, a remove dead players off the field break.
Yeah, we need that. And they're like, no commercials. Watch watch the court.
Zoom in.
No, man. It's, it hasn't been disruptive enough for me to really care. The five subs.
I love it.
Someone brought this up on the broadcast today of, I believe it was the Arsenal match, or I don't remember which game exactly, but they said that 14 of the 20 Premier League clubs voted for it. So you imagine that the other seven were probably the seven that have weak ass benches and like, nah, we don't want to see.
we don't even want these guys thinking they can get in the game. Like, don't do this.
So from a competitive perspective, you could understand why that will provide a huge advantage for the bigger clubs, because they can just have these absolute superstars come off the bench. I would be more okay if they just continue with the three subs. But I also understand the circumstances are ridiculous for all this stuff. So you can understand that why they felt that they had to do it.
Here's who's going to benefit, and here's who's going to this is a real negative for. This is a real negative for bubble players. Your players that are on the fringe, that sometimes get in the match, that are good in training, a little bit older, like above 25 years old, 27 years old, 29 years old, but aren't good enough to start. Players that you sometimes just lose on a free and you don't care. That's the player that's going to suffer. That's the player that's not going to be able to stay in the league, because I'm telling you who this is great for is the youth. This is absolutely incredible. If you're a young player and you're a manager, it doesn't cost too much. Before you'd be like, I can't use one of my three subs on a player that's unproven. Now you can. You've got five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, if the one kid sucks, pull him out. You know what I mean? He got five. Right?
Hey, I made a mistake.
Oh, I just saw what you do, and I don't want to see it anymore.
Good thing I got this, my trusty eraser.
I'm so glad we stopped doing this in permanent pen. You know what I mean? Pencil, baby. That's what I'm talking about. But honestly, I like the idea that it's only three stoppages anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it really hasn't elongated the game in any way, shape, or form. I think... five, my fear is that people are like, well, if five is good, let's just do 10. That's too much. right? Because you don't have that deep of a bench. But five seems right within that window where it's good for the health of the player, as Shexa has said in the chat. It's good for players that are just feeling like this like weird small injury and like, well, but I need to stay out here because there's no more subs. Now, maybe you've got that chance. Maybe they used all three, but maybe there's an opportunity to do it anyway. Like, I think it's a great opportunity, and I think it's something they need to keep. It's just, there's no reason not to. I can't see a reason to not do it. That stupid Iron Man version of soccer is dead anyway.
But I don't think it's about that. I think Colo Blanco, I don't want to address this in the chat, he says, but as Premier League teams, they got the TV money to fix their benches even at the bottom. Well, that they might have some more money, but again, the more money you give to all the Premier League teams receive the same amount of money,
right?
Plus whatever they earn in their own like individual markets or ad deals,
or whatever owner can spend.
And that's where there will never be parity. Some teams will just be more popular than others and will have a world amount of more money. So you can only, regardless of how much the lower, the bottom of the table teams fix their benches, the teams at the top will fix their benches even more to adjust for how much the bottom teams have improved their benches. So it'll always keep shifting, and they'll never be able to catch up realistically. So
unless you have a season like Leicester had a few years ago where you just happen to find a bunch of diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, but I don't think I think the five subs is too much of an advantage to the better team. So I don't think they should keep it.
Forget the youth players, though.
I forgot about them. Don't even care about their well-being or anything. No.
To quote Michael Jordan, fuck those kids. I think even your... Think about it. Southampton, all these clubs that we consider smaller clubs, they're kind of known for developing great players. Not all of them, obviously, but their academies. This is going to be an opportunity to build up your academy. This is going to be an opportunity to...
But it changes the game. It changes the strategy of being a manager and choosing. You have to be very specific about making those three substitutions. That's the game. That is the managerial process.
It's the same thing. It's adding more. It's still chess. It doesn't turn it into checkers.
I agree with that, but it does make the chess game a little bit easier because you have more.
I disagree.
You have more moves.
But so does the other team. It's not like the big clubs get to have five and everyone else has three. They still also have five. So it doesn't change. They could bring in a kid that's a beast. That's sure it's going to be sold next season for less than you wish you could keep him for. But at the end of the day, it's like there are still chances that you have an advantage. And it's only going to help the English player. So why not do it? They should do it in the U.S. They should do it in MLS. They should do it in NWSL. They should do it everywhere.
I know. I think it changes the game a little too much. I don't think it's definitely not necessary. But it makes those subs. That's why subs are so important. And
it's
like
Colo Blanco said, it's still only three stoppages.
It's not about the time that it takes. It is about the competitive advantage that Manchester City, they can bring in Aguero, they could bring
Mahrez
or whatever. Yeah. Like there's something there's some parity brought when Manchester City can't bring two more absolutely stellar players. They have to play with the 11 that they have, and then three more as the option. So it allows for a Leicester team to be able to win the Premier League because they didn't have to not only play against those three amazing subs, but then also two superstars because, you know, some team has a ridiculous payroll. So
I'm not saying it's wrong,
like ethically. I'm saying that the way the game is played now and the strategy that managers have to come up with to approach any fixture, that will change drastically. And the way rosters are built will change and things like that. It's not just... You know, more young kids are going to get to play. There might be a couple teams that do that, but not the majority. The majority of teams are like, okay, well, we got five subs, and now let's spend a little bit more money on really bolstering our bench, and because we know that now these other guys are going to get some playing time, we might be able to stack us absolute super teams because better players are
here's where I think you're
probably
wrong.
Willing to come to the team.
Yeah, but I here's where I disagree with you. No great player is going to go somewhere knowing that there's a better player in that position in front of them. Do you get what I'm saying? It's still not going to change the competitive drive of those players to want to be starters. So I just don't think you're automatically going to be like, you're not going to build this additional Galacticos on the bench. That just doesn't happen. And I like Shexa goes, why don't we compromise four subs? it's not about that. I think it's about with the structure of the game that you're picturing, I think is a bit more of a fever dream than it is what the reality would be. Because if you're an incredible player who's starting on Crystal Palace, if you're Wilfried Zaha, let's say you're Wilfried Zaha, right? Do you want to go be a bench player on Manchester City?
You don't, but there are people who would be willing to do that are very, very good. There's a reason when you only have three subs, it'll make those three players have to be obviously good enough to not only just either be a starter, but to be on the bench. But without a doubt, if if Manchester City had five subs forever, it would be a little tough for teams like Southampton to play a Manchester City, knowing that they would have to face 16 incredibly high quality players as opposed to 14.
Well, here's why I love the idea even more, because I kind of want to see the world you're talking about, because I honestly don't think that's going to happen. There may be the odd situation where someone transfers mid-season, you know what I mean, and because they just want to be on a winning team, or maybe they have 1 year left on their contract, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know what I mean?
Christian is dying on this hill.
Yeah, because I completely disagree with you. So I kind of agree with Colo Blanco. Like, I think you've dug in your trench, and honestly, I respect it. But like, I don't think the world you're envisioning. I think Mahrez being a bench player, being a substitute, a reserve player even, just like reserve to the luxury, not reserve on the reserve squad, I think that's just a rarity. I don't think someone's going to want, unless they're older and like it's like a Carlos Tevez level where they're like, dude, I just want to play on a great team. I don't think you're going to get these great players at the peak of their career saying like, you know what, I will take the fourth and fifth possible substitute.
But that's not
to
what
be
I'm
on
saying.
The team.
I'm
that
not
is
saying,
what you're saying. So I, then those players aren't that great.
No. That isn't what I'm saying. Obviously, there's going to be unintended consequences with anything, right?
Of like, everything, there's unintended consequences.
Yes. I'm not saying that they'll just be team of superstars, right? Like, so and I want to address Shexa made a point about that lesser teams with more subs can play all out defense better to hang with Goliath teams. Maybe, but
not maybe. Yours is a maybe too. Don't throw a maybe on Shexa's.
Maybe, but that doesn't mean they're gonna win. Right? I mean, like, so you're just gonna get, you know, a bunch of more center backs, and that'll kind of resolve any issue. The game will be less entertaining.
When did you become Burnley's manager?
The game will be less entertaining. There will be consequences to this. That's all I'm saying. And whether it's
run on Shexa's scenario. Let's say you're a lesser team, Everton, right? And you're playing against a big club, Arsenal, right? And Everton scores and they're up 1-0. And let's say there's 30 minutes left in the game and they have the opportunity to bring in three new players after already making two subs. They can now bring in three defensive players and may really make it really difficult for Arsenal to potentially score another goal. It allows you to play chess on a slightly wider board.
But that is fine. I understand what you're saying. But now, so let's say as a neutral, I'm not an Everton fan, not an Arsenal fan. I'm watching this game. They bring in all these defenders. Now the game is slower. The game is more defensive. I'm watching a less entertaining game than if I had a more tired Everton.
That's
and Arsenal. And Arsenal can score more goals. The game will lead. We're always going to go in the direction of more goals. When you add more subs, you are taking away the possibility of more goals. That's what I'm saying.
If those subs are defensive, but now Arsenal can make additional subs themselves to bring in more attacking players and put it on all out. And in fact, that might even lead to a counter goal from Everton, because now maybe Arsenal is less defensive. It actually completely. We're going to start to see new formations. We're going to see a bunch of new stuff. And honestly, I think you hate change. I think you've got a problem with change.
I'm fine.
Honestly, I think the world is moving on and you need to move with it, Grandpa.
I am fine the way it is. I think
all subs matter. And I think five subs.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have never wanted five subs until I saw it. And now that I've seen it, I want it, and I want it to stay in the game. Look, this is probably a stupid argument because it's not, right? FIFA hates making changes, right? But I think if this stays, I think beyond COVID, I would be very happy because the new level of strategy to the game is going to be better than anything we've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, okay. Look, Shax is saying I honestly don't think it would have such a dramatic impact right away, maybe slowly over time. Maybe. And
Jim, I thought he was talking about the Montreal impact, which they could use five subs.
Jim says, this reminds me of when Alexis came up with FIFA training for the U.S. men's national team. Remember that, Alexis?
It's a genius idea.
just a little FIFA simulator with their playing as their own characters. It was
as themselves only in Greg Berhalter's system. So a player like Weston McKennie, while he's playing in whatever the hell Schalke is doing, can continue to develop in Berhalter's system. I don't understand why you don't get it. I like what Gymnastics said. Nah, son, you bring in my lawyer, Ishmael Jurishradi, our lawyer.
Yes, check out that. That's our episode with Aaron West that we did. So you check that one out.
We asked Greg Berhalter that on our show as well. And Berhalter didn't say it was a bad idea.
Okay, so I think we're out of subject. That's pretty much it. If anybody else has any other questions.
That's how we end our show. I think we're out of subjects.
There's no more things to discuss.
Yeah, that's the end of the show, you mean. A show that we've completely prepared for and we did without a hitch.
So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us on Twitch. Again, make sure if you are not following us on Twitch, do that so you can hang out with us and you can be a part of experiences just like these, because we had all the hits from our chat, from Shexa, from Gymnastics 3, Colo Blanco, Robert
Mod
from LA.
Mods.
Okay, we got the Doritos in the building. Okay. Robert from LA says, did you mention the new kits some teams are debuting?
Yeah, Chelsea already brought out their new kit, which I'm not a fan of. Like, no, wait till the restart. But I guess it's the contract, right?
Yeah, they always do this. And towards the end of the season, they'll wear the next season's kit. Everton hasn't worn their kit, but they released it. It's with Hummel now. It's kind of plain.
Nah, I'm gonna disagree with you again. Not that that's a part of the show, but I think it's clean, dude. It's very classy looking.
It is. I'm not saying I don't like it, but it doesn't look too different than the one I'm currently wearing. That's all I'm saying.
I actually think it looks nicer than the one you're wearing.
Okay. Yeah. It has like a little bit of a shine or whatever. So. Yeah. We didn't get into it too much because otherwise it's we talked about our hair and then it'd become a full fashion show.
And then it went from there.
but we'll make some time to do that. Maybe we should do like a little a Twitch, and go over kits and stuff like that.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, why not? I'm proud of myself. I finally set up, I got a capture card for my computer so I can connect my Xbox and we can play games and it can look good and all this stuff. So there's a lot to look forward to on the Twitch channel. So make sure you hang out with us and follow and do all those things.
Right. So if you're listening, subscribe to the podcast, go to our Twitch channel, subscribe. You'll get an alert when we come on. It's pretty dope. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free. It's a free subscription. You just click on it and you're good. As long as you haven't used it for anything else, which I can't believe you did, right? Yeah, Why would you do that to us?
How dare you? I mean, really? Right? Shaxa said the new Dortmund kit is fire. That's interesting, right? Because I've heard a lot, even from other Dortmund fans, I've heard that they're like, oh, I don't know about this one.
I'm not a big fan of it. I got to wait. That one's going to grow on me. Like the new Arsenal kit with all the blood splatter. I'm not sure I'm sold on it.
Yeah, so Colobong said Pika Pika or Pikachu. Yeah, it's a little bit. Definitely has.
I did not get that. I thought that was food, to be honest with you. I didn't get what it meant at first.
Oh, look at that. We got Pikachu in the chat. That's great.
All right.
Everyone, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Again, we'll be back with another podcast on Friday where we'll be recapping MLS is back and talking about all that stuff. We also have some news coming soon. So stay tuned.
So there's a reason we couldn't talk about MLS. There's a big announcement that's happening probably right after you listen to this podcast or maybe just before it, but we can't announce it. They will announce it, but it is a huge deal for us and we're really, really excited and we hope you guys will be excited too. Nothing's going to change though. You're still going to get podcasts, still going to get the TV show. We're still going to the regular podcast. We'll still do the Premier League show as well each week. Like none of that changes, but this is a really big deal for us. So just stay tuned to our social tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this. And if you're listening to this after, you probably know about it already.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at the chat right now and there's just like some nonsense. Oh, we got a spammer. Thank you for calling Blanco. We blocked the spammer. Thank you so much for that.
Perfect.
Okay. Like we said, Friday. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast and we'll be back on television on Tuesday.
That's right.
On Fubo TV, we have a great show coming up. We are going to be joined by Sebastian Saucedo, our first Liga MX player. Active Liga MX player is going to be on the show.
For Pumas.
Plays for Pumas. So we're really, really stoked about that. And we recorded the interview a couple weeks ago, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and it's amazing. And
it really is an incredible interview.
Yeah, he's a great, great dude and really like... When you do our show and you're forced to keep it real, but he was like, nah, I'm good.
He came in like, no, man, I've been real since this thing started. It's not, hey, go. I've been good. Like, if you think he's not going to bring up the RSL stuff, bruh, like, we didn't even have to ask him about it. Like, what are you eating? He's like, I'll tell you what RSL did wrong. I'm like, okay, all right.
A lot to look forward to. So make sure you check that out Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Fubo TV. So watch MLS is back. Again, we'll be talking about it on Friday. A lot going on for the Cooligans.
Stay tuned to our socials, dude. I'm really, really excited.
All right. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!